You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, folks, we have had an amazing day today. I don't know whether it's because of the sunny weather or the fact that Amy Grant was on our show. If you did miss the interview with Amy Grant today and you're listening going, oh, I didn't know she was on, go to our website, www.drewmarshall.ca. You can sign up for our weekly email updates, and then we can let you know what guest is coming up next on the show. Next week, Kathy Tricoli will be our guest. If you go to www.endured.com, E-N-D-U-R-E-D.com, you will read some fascinating work. You'll hear some fascinating work as well. It's quite a mesmerizing website, and I don't know who helped you design that, Marcella. Did you kind of do all that yourself? Or
did you have someone? I did it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your website?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so we now have a website designer that many people may want to hire. Marcella joins us in the studio, Marcella Cross, and I don't like introducing you this way because this does not define you, but the most concise way I can bring people up to speed is by saying that you're a young woman in your 20s whose body is slowly shutting down from MS.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's concisely put, but you're much, much more than that, and if I was you, I would hate to be defined like that.
I don't think you can define me that way. I wouldn't define myself that way. If I'm sitting here talking to you, I don't have MS. Well, I do, but I mean, that's not what runs through my mind.
No, and it's not part of how
we interact. But it doesn't offend me, no.
No. You know what? I'm the most politically incorrect person on the face of the planet. maybe Don Cherry is probably a little bit more than I am, but I always get tongue-tied when it comes to describing people with even the word. I mean, do you say disability? Like, is that a bad thing?
I don't have a problem with it. I think a lot of people get confused. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. People don't know, should I open the door? Should I help her? Or, you know.
Well, just as an example, you came in the studio and there's a bit of a ledge on the doorway there.
Yeah.
And the wheels were there and I just went right over to help. And I thought, well, hold on a second. She's gone over these doorways before. What do I, you know.
Well, actually, the chair's new, so I'm still learning to do wheelies.
All right. Wheelies.
I'll get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about your journey, and that's what this segment is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you born and raised? Where'd you grow up, Marcella?
Born and raised in Toronto.
Downtown Toronto or a suburb?
Toronto General, I believe.
Oh,
yes.
That's where I was born, too.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. But you're a little older.
Okay. Enough with that. Thank you very much. She's been here, what, 5 minutes? She's been cheeky. <already. laughs> And now, I'm going to keep referring sometimes to the other people we have in your room. Can you introduce your sisters?
My second sister, Juliana, and my youngest sister, Victoria.
How many sisters are in the family?
One more, Gabriella.
Four sisters?
Four of us, yeah.
Any brothers?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. Because he would have a hard time.
I think my dad, well, he was trying for a boy, but he
yeah.
kept getting girls, so he finally said, all right, we'll stop.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so born in Toronto, and how would you define yourself as a child? Were you a rebellious little jerk?
I was not at all rebellious. I was a very good girl. I can say that absolutely.
Would your mom agree with that?
I think it was, I think she must have to. I think it was a little unfair to my parents because I misled them. And that's why, you know, they could have other kids thinking, well, they're all great. They're going to be great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Honestly, I was a really good kid. I followed the rules. I didn't rebel. I didn't argue with not being allowed somewhere. I didn't even ask most of the time because I knew the answer was no kind of thing.
Mm.
Then I was diagnosed at just before I hit 18. And that kind of hit me. And I kind of tried to break out of
who you were.
Well, I had a really major identity crisis.
Okay.
I didn't know who I was, but I tried to break out of the rules, okay? Sorry, Mom, Dad, you got to let me out. I got to get out. And it was just anything like that. Being diagnosed at that age or any age, it's going to affect you.
Hmm.
It becomes a journey, and nothing about my journey is any more special than anyone else's.
Were you in high school when you were diagnosed, or were you out?
I was out. I was just going to aesthetics college, actually.
Okay.
Graduated from. I was diagnosed while I was in there.
Okay. What were the early signs of MS?
My feet were tingling.
Okay, so you had tingling in your feet. Your feet were numb, and you're like, "What the heck's that all about?" Went to the doctor?
No, not really. Not right away. I waited about a year and a half.
Year and a half of tingling.
Yeah, I figured it would go away, but then it didn't. I said, all right, you know, we'll go.
Yeah.
At that time, I wasn't worried about anything. Afterwards, anything that goes wrong, I go to the doctor kind of thing.
Right.
You know, these things, they affect you, whatever.
Forgive my ignorance. I know very little about MS. Is MS something that, for example, if you had done something about the tingling earlier, it would have helped, or it would have just gone on the way it would have gone on anyway?
I'm a little upset about there's no cure, and doctors will tell you there's nothing you can do.
Hmm.
I think a doctor that says there's nothing you can do should lose his license or hers.
Why?
Because, yes, it's a neurological disease, and it's degenerative, and there's a lot of things you can't control, but pushing yourself and building your stamina and building your endurance does benefit.
Okay, so they should word that better. They shouldn't say there's nothing you can do. They should say there is no cure for MS, but that's not the end of life. Get your act together, lift your game,
mm-hmm.
and prepare for a different lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying I would have listened. Actually, I probably wouldn't have.
Why?
I was just so distraught, and I was too busy thinking about, okay, this is how my life is going to be. I couldn't be concerned with, okay, this is what I've got to do to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Until it had progressed significantly, and then I made an effort. I still do to some extent, but obviously it's a little harder for me now.
Hmm. Over the course of your diagnosis, were there times where it got better and you thought it was going away, and then it got worse, and then you knew it was there, and then it got better, and it got worse? In other words, you were jerked around emotionally?
There's actually four different types of MS.
Oh.
The type I have is primary progressive, so it doesn't actually go into any remission. It just is a constant, chronic, slow progression.
Okay, at the risk of sounding condescending to those who have different kinds, is yours like the worst kind?
No.
You get? Okay.
There are children with worse cases of MS than me.
Do you have the easiest, or do you have one in the middle? Horrible way to describe it, I know, I'm sorry.
I don't think I have the easiest. It's affected me. Some people may wake up one day blind in one eye, that's MS, and never see another symptom.
Wow.
There's no way of knowing. It's not worse or better. I don't like to call it worse
no,
or better
yeah,
than...
I'm using bad words.
And even than any other disease or any other situation. I mean, this is life, right?
Yeah. What has been happening to you physically since you were 18? Started with the tingling?
Yes.
Numbness.
And that, for about 4 years, there was no other sign of anything.
So you had 4 years of tingling, and that's it?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Numbness kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed to slowly start to move up my legs to the point right now. Like, it's affected my fingers and my arms. And it just seems to move upwards kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, one of the tests the doctors will do is take a pin and, you know, ask if you feel it on your toes.
Use you like a voodoo doll.
Yeah, or even... a tuning fork, and you've got to say when the buzzing stops.
Really?
And sometimes on my hip, I don't feel it at all.
Hmm.
And it's amazing, because they want me to tell them when it stops, but I know it hasn't stopped, but I don't feel it, and I kind of feel like maybe I'll get a tuning fork and practice it.
That's right. Tune yourself up. All right. You're now in a wheelchair, and that's been recent.
Well, I just got the chair.
Right. So it's a 2006 model.
It is. It's actually state-of-the-art. Ooh. Titanium.
Yeah, BMW.
yeah.
Get your own Beamer.
I can walk to an extent. I use a walker sometimes. I can. It depends. But if I'm something like coming out of the house and coming here, it is going to take a lot of work.
Sure.
And so I'll take the chair kind of thing.
Is it embarrassing for you to walk in a distorted fashion?
No. I don't think so. I'm trying to remember when it was just... it's not embarrassing.
No. It'll probably get to a point where it just...
Oh, it's ugly. It's just
it's,
not...
Oh, it's but ugly.
I'm not embarrassed. Well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, it's ugly.
There's nothing I can do about it.
I don't think I'll ever forget that quote.
Sometimes I'll be at the mall and old people, or sorry, elderly.
Oh, whatever, old people.
Elderly people will walk by me and they pass me, and I just feel like
reaching out and grabbing.
I feel like stopping and saying, "Don't you feel bad? Wouldn't you want to like slow down? How do you think I feel?"
Oh boy.
Or they stare at me, you know. And
can you trip them? Have you ever wanted to just, you know?
No, they could trip me.
Yeah.
The little children could take me down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In a heartbeat.
Let's talk about your spiritual journey.
Okay.
Did you grow up in a God family?
My father is Catholic. My mother is a born-again Christian and has been for most of my life.
And your mother's a singer. I got that song. I honestly could not believe how good that was.
She's amazing.
You know, people send me a lot of music, right? Because they think I'm a DJ or something. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me anyway. I get a lot of music sent to me. And I got to be honest, you know, 85 to 90% of it is just rubbish. Absolute rubbish. For those of you who have sent me music, you know what I'm talking about. But your mom can sing.
She can. She is. And all my life I wanted to sing. And I...
You can't sing? It's ugly. Oh, it's ugly.
Well, I'd like to think it's not that bad. I quit smoking in June because I was going to try and take up singing, but she can sing. She got the voice.
Who's she?
Victoria.
Don't forget the radio people can't see
Sorry.
She. Victoria, you can sing, huh? Good for you. So your mom surrendered her life to Christ a bunch of years ago, really made sort of a genuine commitment and...
Absolutely.
Restored her relationship with the Creator, whatever way you want to say it.
No doubt she had her journey as well and has it. We all do.
Is she the person who was instrumental in your own faith?
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah.
A lot of times I didn't like to encourage her because she can be very eccentric.
Most singers can, actually. Yeah.
So, but I heard, I listened, and I knew. So when I was diagnosed... The first question is why.
Why to God?
Yeah. And I know I said I hate God once, very early. And I didn't believe it. I was trying to make a deal with the devil kind of thing. You know, if you leave me alone, I'll hate God. And if he was smart, he would have. But
devil's never been the sharpest tool in the shed.
Oh, that's funny. I actually recently said to someone, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. And he just cracked up. It was quite embarrassing.
I did a show one time where I asked, do you think it's okay to get angry at God? And I was overwhelmed with how many people called in and said, no, it's not okay to get angry with God. I was bugged. Like, I was like, okay, have you read the Psalms? Have you read David?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello?
Absolutely, and I think we have so many misconceptions about God and who he is and what the rules are. We can get angry. We can question him. You know, Jesus Christ on the cross questioned him. Why have you forsaken me? And that's an example to me of how human he was. But the fact that he questioned God to, you know what? Question God. God, that's an invitation for God to answer. And he will. Ask him why. And my, since I was diagnosed, it was a million questions, and I arrived at a million conclusions. And I think I've finally arrived at one lump sum answer to my every question and to everyone's every question. The answer to every question is for His glory. It's all about Christ. Actually, I think I read recently, I think it was Colossians, but don't quote me. The mystery of God is Jesus Christ. Which is still a mystery, but it's brilliant. Just that logic, you know. The Son glorifies the Father, and the Father glorifies the Son. And it's...
If I had MS and I was 19, I would be tempted to kill myself.
I did overdose, and I did think about killing myself many times. And when I finally did overdose, that was kind of like the last straw. I'm glad I didn't succeed. And recently, in the last 6 months, last year, things have gotten really hard again.
Physically?
Physically, yes.
Which connects to emotional and spiritual and everything else, but we're talking physically.
I mean, I thought I had overcome. I thought I had it, you know, under control. I got it. And then...
Well, the tingling started getting worse? What happened?
Well, I mean, last summer, I spent a lot of the summer on the floor, just unable to get up and crying, and because it's hard not to get emotional. I mean, it's frustrating, and I'm not a proud person per se, but I guess I'm a little bit.
Your sister behind you is going, So does she have some stubbornness in her? Is she stubborn?
Oh, my God.
that'd be an amen, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened? Started getting worse. You found yourself laying on the floor all, you know, for a lot of the summer, crying.
Yeah, and there's that I thought I had it. I had it all figured out, and now, okay, why again? And it's a constant, and I think about the question why, and you're mentioning, you know, should we get angry at God? Should we question God?
Yeah.
Absolutely question Him, because He'll answer, and it's an invitation for Him to answer, and He will.
To me, it seems like dialogue and communication, and I think that's one of the main things that God wants more from us, and that's one of the main things we suck at, is communicating regularly with God.
Absolutely.
So he knows you're angry anyway. Like, He knew David was angry, and then He prompted him to write it down, and now it's kept forever in the records of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. I'm still on a rant about these people that think it's not okay to get angry.
I think that there's just so many misconceptions about... who God is and who Jesus Christ is.
We're in the studio with Marcella Cross. You definitely want to go to her website, www.endured.com, E-N-D-U-R-E-D.com. And Marcella, you are 29?
Yes. When I saw in her 20s,
how nice am I, eh?
Yes.
Gosh. What was I going to say, barely. Almost 30? Like, yeah, I'm sure that barely would go over well with 20. You. Struggling with MS, I guess that's probably the best way to put it, but talking about how this interacts with her spiritual journey as well, back to the diagnosis and the prognosis, is this supposed to kill you?
Complications can lead to death, but it's not a fatal disease.
Are you going to end up shaking in a wheelchair, twisting, contorting, having no real control of many or any of your bodily functions, and sort of locked up somewhere? I mean, is that the future?
That's definitely something I struggle with, especially in the last year. For the longest time, I expected God to heal me. I expected that was the reason that He allowed this. I think we need to stop. Well, I needed to stop trying to read God's mind. I don't want to get there, and I am scared to death of getting to that point. And that's why in the last year I get so angry.
When you allow yourself to dwell on where things might go?
when I think about what... See, the last 10 years have been a slow progression. I started off, couldn't tell, 4 years. And then it was slowly progressing. But now it's at a point, now the next 10 years, where am I going to go? What's that going to be about? I'm scared to death.
Have you visited or seen or hung out with people with late stages of MS?
I've seen people and not even recognized they had MS. I mistook it for, like, Down syndrome.
Really?
Yeah. And it blew me away. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it can... The thing is, it affects anything that's a muscle. Your brain's ability to speak to your muscles. So it can affect anything. It can affect speech and... your vision, pretty much everything. And I struggle with that. I lately am having a problem speaking. So I try to enunciate a little better. And it's frustrating, you know, because I've accepted the chair. I've accepted sitting down. But I don't want to get to the point where no one can understand me or I need to be fed or... And I'm scared to death of that, of course.
I wonder what goes on spiritually inside of a person whose physical body is so restricted. And the brain is a muscle as well, so I wonder cognitively what will happen to these people. And I wonder about ministering to these people. I wonder what they get and what they don't get. And specifically, I'm wondering about the spiritual aspect of life. You know, someone reading God's word to them or someone talking to them about Jesus or, you know what I mean? Or do we just literally write them off and go, no, they're not getting it, bye-bye, sit in the corner, wait till you die?
I'm the type of person who, I just feel it in my heart. I don't need the proof that so many people do that God exists. Mm. In a scientific form.
No, you have the gift of faith. There's no question. You have the spiritual gift of faith. Everybody has faith, but you have the spiritual gift of faith.
Thank you. But my point was that I don't need I can't even find the word, and I forgot. See, cognitive, it does affect me. I forget your question.
I'm like that 24/7, so I don't know what you're on about.
But it's more frustrating for me because I know that it's cognitive, so I kind of get stumped even more because I'm trying to fight it so much. And
Marcella, I want people to get how you have been able to paint word pictures of God, paint word pictures of life. I've read some of your stuff. I've heard some of your stuff. And I'm a big fan of talented lyricists. And they're incredibly rare.
Thank you.
And you have this innate way of taking complicated fog and bringing it into some sort of focused reality. And it's quite freaky.
You have the wrong guest in the room.
Sorry, Robert Frost, come on in here. Can you recite something from memory?
All right. Not by might and not by power I shall endure the coming hour. So faith does lead my soul to pray. So far I walk, but still I faint. And though they doubt, I still believe that if I ask, I will receive. On eagle's wings I take flight, prepare to meet a bandit's knight. Among the wise I make my request, and in my frailty I am blessed. For my sins his blood was poured, and by his stripes I am restored. But the sailing body still remains. Upon my cloak are yet the stains. And though it's said I am reborn, the edge of me preserves its thorn. I asked if cause I earned by wrong. I'm told in weakness I am strong.
What was the inspiration? What was the motivation behind that? Why did you write that?
Well, for the longest time, I thought God would heal me, and I would even walk around saying, okay, well, you know, pretty soon I'll be healed. And, you know, you search scripture. Or, you know, okay, maybe there's something I need to do. Maybe, you know, I kind of went with a word of faith. method, and that didn't work. And then when I got to the scripture, the verse about, is it Paul with the thorn in his side? And, you know, he wasn't healed of that thorn. And that kind of made me angry to think I'm supposed to have it. And you continue to ask God, and you continue to argue with him. But the more you know him, and the more you fall in love with him, you see the reason. I mean, there's no reason. He didn't make me sick, but I am sick. Now he'll take it, and he will make it into good.
For his glory.
Absolutely.
So who made you sick? Why are you sick? Why do you have MS?
Just the way the world works.
It's a broken, fallen world.
It's we're human.
What did you try to get healed?
Hmm.
What kind of belief systems? What kind of churchianity? What kind of rituals or things? Did you think there's a specific word for you?
I mean, the name it and claim it. I remember I called my pastor at my church one day, and I said, "Hi, I'd like to come and hang out with the church. I'm going to stay there till I'm healed." And he said no.
You're the greatest. What?
Oh, yeah. And I was like, "Oh, you can't say no, can you?" But I'm like, "All right." But I was going to try that. I thought that would work if I just stayed there.
If you stayed
and
in
fasted,
the church long enough, yeah.
If I fasted.
Sanctuary.
Absolutely. I thought something would happen, but yeah. No, he said, no, you can't do that. All right.
When you say name it and claim it, what do you mean? I mean, I know what you mean, but let's make sure our listeners know what you mean.
Just the idea or the theory that we claim healing, and then we have it, and there's the word of faith movement. But I needed to stop trying to read God's mind, and I did that for a long time. I tried to read his mind. I tried to predict what he had planned for me. And I've kind of learned that it doesn't matter what condition I'm in. He will take it. And he will take me, and if I let him, he will make me strong. So I'm disabled, but at the same time, I'm very enabled in the sense that there's so much I wouldn't have done if I were whole and I had a 9-to-5 job and that sort of thing. And that's actually one of my poems is, I wrote it recently, and it's pretty sarcastic.
Oh, I love sarcastic poems. Do you have it?
I can try. It's called Killing Time. Mine is just another life, and lives are meant to end. If sooner before later, one less welfare check to send. Pray tell, what style of box shall I receive? A crate fit for a queen? Will you dress me up in silk and lace? Will an angelic light caress my face? If it comforts you to adorn me so, I will not protest. I do, however, have this one solemn request. Will you leave my eyes unfastened, please? I promise not to cry. I just want to see if, peering in, they can look me in the eye. And when the air above a chapel's pews rises from the stench, charming, dreary faces will declare they knew me when. Chasten them with a smile, please. You need not hold a grudge. Invite them all for tea and cake, and feel my ghostly nudge as they shuffle into the corridor to draw a donor's form. I assure you now of their good intent, their wishes well and warm. And though pity and abundance shall slow them in the streets, regret will not bring revolution, rage won't lift them from their seats. For time consumes with no mercy, and the weak will be destroyed. Had this tragedy not slowed me down, I too would be deployed. Shame it is, to me at least. Time delayed is life postponed. Obligation steals time suffice, from freedom willingly disowned. One of my sisters.
Hold on, I have to say wow. I gotta say something. Are you kidding me?
Thank you.
You know what? This reminds me of Billy Graham has Parkinson's, and when he gets up there, it's gone. When he gets up to speak, the shaking stops, the everything, it's gone.
I don't doubt that.
And when I see you recite, you're different.
And when I write, I feel different. I was kind of hesitant to do a radio show. I don't speak very well. I write...
Have you heard my show before?
I write a lot better, I think, than I speak. Because something happens to me when I'm writing.
People need to go to endured.com and buy your writings. It's not expensive, and that's not the point. The point is, proceeds of this will go towards what?
Either mscure.org, which is a fundraiser I started to support the Accelerated Cure Project in Boston, who are, instead of trying to find a cure per se, they're looking for the cause of MS, and or they can choose to give to Sick Children's Hospital, kids with MS. I like to call them million-dollar kids. Mm. And I'm not sure if I'm going to give to medicine for the kids. I think there's enough money there. I want to buy them toys and play with them. Mm. My sister, Victoria, she has a sense of... She can be beside a disabled person and it not faze her. So many people just stare at me, you know. Or little kids are fascinated with a grown-up with wheels. And they come up and they try to touch it. And their parents, you have never seen parents run so fast. Because they think it's a curse. But the world needs to, like...
Chill.
Not only, but it's not their fault. I mean, it's no one's fault. I was the same way, but we don't see disability, but it exists. Home care came to my house, and I was trying to apply for a scooter. And she said I wasn't eligible. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you don't use it around the house. And I said, but what about when I leave the house? And she said, you don't need to leave the house.
Are you kidding me?
And I honestly, I was just shocked. And I didn't really say anything at the time. But then I called her and I said, don't come back. I don't, you know, how dare you?
Cow. Oh, man.
But that explains it. The disabled people are just kind of, well, a lot of us are cooped up in our homes. Because the world is not accessible. And it's not, I mean, going out and doing anything is very hard, and you have to really want to. Hmm.
Marcella, why are you a Christian? What's Jesus to you?
I'm just in love with him, I guess. And I think... You get to know God, and if you can get past all the stereotypes of God in Christ, and if you can actually just sit down and read His Word and get to know Him and His Son, anybody would fall in love with Him. And I love Him because, I don't know, how do you explain that, really? I love Him because of who He is. Just, I stand in awe of him. I can't help it. I don't know. Why do you?
Hey, I ask the questions around
here. No, but it's a question people will ask me, but I don't know. How do you answer it? How would you answer it, really?
I have a hard time answering it because as a guy, and I think a lot of guys resonate with this, as a guy, I have a hard time saying I'm in love with a male.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I'm in love with Jesus. That doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to feel that, but I have a short circuit in my brains on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've surrendered my life to Christ because of the simplicity of the gospel. I think the simplest thing is the right thing, because if it was more complicated, then dumb people wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And dumb people are going to be in heaven. I'm going
to
be there.
And to me, that's just one more proof that it's God's word, because a very ignorant person can read it and get so much from it. And then a genius can read it, quote unquote, and get plenty out of it. It's a Bible. It's endless. It's a book that's timeless. And
so are your writings.
Thank you very much. That's thanks.
They are. That was probably one of the first things. After reading your writings on endured.com, E-N-D-U-R-E-D.com, and hearing you and trying to get what this was all about, I couldn't put my finger on a word. I was searching. How do you describe this? And I said, you got to listen to this girl I'm getting on the show on Saturday. They go, why should we listen? Well, because she's got, MS, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's young and pretty, and she's nice, and she. I was like searching for the words, I couldn't get it, but finally, I think it. I don't know. Your writings are timeless. There is a penetrating, lasting quality about the stuff that is coming out of you, and to me, it seems to be God-inspired. There's a lot of prophet-inspired writing out there. There's a lot of marketing-inspired writing out there, but it doesn't seem to me, Marcella, like you give a holy grunt about what other people think about your writing. Matter of fact, I think you kind of say that on your website too.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the purest kind of reality that we need. I think we need a lot more of it. And I want people to go to your website. I want people to go to endured.com. I want people to buy your e-book, your electronic mm-hmm. book. How much is it?
$10.
Nothing. $10. $10. I want everybody and their mother to go to your website, buy this ebook. Proceeds will go towards mscure.org, is it? Another organization that you're involved with. And you just, aside from the proceeds things, I mean, who cares about the okay, good. Proceeds, got that. It's a noble thing to do. But the blessing that comes with these writings is spooky. I'm just telling you, it's spooky. Let me just bring your sisters in on this. And girls, mm-hmm. can you just come a little closer to that microphone? Just wheel your chairs in there. You guys are all in chairs that wheel, so.
Hello.
As a group of you, I want to ask you this. Is MS genetic, and is there a chance that either of you two will get it? Or have it already, or whatever that is?
I have no idea.
do you know?
I think there's a 3% chance. Higher chance mm-hmm. than right. anyone. I think the odds are 1 in 750.
Okay. All right. Watching your sister be confined to a wheelchair now, or not confined, but, breaking down. I don't know what the words are. Here I am stumbling over myself again. What's that like?
Well, the first time that I heard that she was going to be in a wheelchair, her doctor said that, I think, right? And she hasn't for, I think it was her 10th year, 3 years ago or something like that. She was supposed to be in a wheelchair, but she wasn't. And I was so happy, but then I was just a little curious, and I went on the internet, and I typed it on Google. I said, when people with MS die. I was just curious.
Sure, yeah.
And it said 35, and she was about 27 at the time, and I'm like, 35? I was like, I just went in her room, and I told her, and I started crying. I'm like, what is this? 35? I don't know. It was just a little shocking to me.
Basically, your sister's supposed to be around for another 6 years.
Yep. That's basically what I read. Wow. I don't know.
But they also told her she'd be in a wheelchair in 2 years.
Yeah, that's the... That's... Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you thought about what it's going to be like to lose her? Or do you not allow yourself to go down that way?
I think I couldn't really conceive of that for a while. And then, I don't know, we've had our grandparents for most of our lives, all four of them. We've been really lucky and unlucky enough to lose them over the last 6 or so years. Mm. And you start. It's funny, because before you lose someone really close to you, you don't understand that the world can crumble down around you. You think everything is just fine and everything, you're just sort of invincible. You're this invincible kid. And when you think for a moment that someone who you love so dearly, someone who is indispensable in your life, can't be around anymore, it's not conceivable. Like, I try and think about, is it a reality? I try and understand. But it's not really something I can comprehend, I don't think. And when I hear you say something like her writing is timeless, I'm an English specialist. I love literature. I know it very well. And I aspire to be a writer one day too. And the reason is because everything passes in this world. Mm. Everything passes. But somehow the words that people put on paper, they last. And if you touch one person, how priceless is that?
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Let me ask you one final question, because we've run out of time, and I could personally just sit and chat with you guys for hours, but we got a show to do, so we can't do that. Drives me nuts when people save the important stuff to say to people at their funerals when they can't hear you when they're in the casket.
Yep.
You know, drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it now. What do you want to say to your sister, Marcella?
You want to go first? I love you. I tell that all the time to her when she's... Because, like, the last question you were talking about, and do you ever think about it? I always think about it. I go in her room and I tell her, and I just start crying all the time. And I just say, I can't lose you, because she's always home with me, right? I'm always the kid, doesn't go to work or anything. So I'm always by myself, and she's always there with me, so just be different. I just, okay. Okay, hurry up and start talking.
Yeah, I don't know if you can sum it up kind of thing, but Marcella always taught, Marcella, whatever, I call her Marcella, March.
Am I pronouncing it wrong?
No, it's okay.
It's Marcella, I'm Italian.
Okay, I'm going to stay with...
That's why, though.
I'm going to stay with, can I call you March?
Yeah,
okay,
everyone calls
her March.
March.
Okay. All right, go for it.
It's not something you can really sum up, but March is my older sister, and I grew up in a very, you know, traditional Italian family where seniority made a big impact on your role in the family. And Marcella's always been my protector, my oldest sister. And it's funny because she feels incapable of doing that now, and I don't see it that way at all. She's the one who gave me heck when I came home late. She's the one who gave me the birds and the bees talk, you know. She's a pretty incredible person, and I can say I love you, but the words aren't enough. Words aren't enough. She will always be my older sister. I'll always be in awe of her, and I'll always be a little afraid of her. That's just the way it's supposed to be.
That's good.
I did good.
Yeah, that's great. That is so good. Well, March, I wish we had more time. I would like to I'd like to keep in touch a little bit and just like to find out more about you and to read more, and I'd like to bring more people to your website, and I'd like to bring more funds to mscure.org.
Cool.
I wish you well. I really do.
Thank you.
You're an inspiration to me when I get too navel-gazy, when I think it's all about me. All right, folks. Well, there we have it, our journey segment for the day. And when we come back from our break, we'll be speaking with Scott and Bethany Palmer, who are authors of Sense and Sensibility, How Couples Can Agree About Money. And then Carrie Pomeroli joins us, her report from Sodom and Gomorrah. She's reporting from Hollywood, going to give us a skinny on what's going on down there. Please continue to pray for Marcella and her family. And thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with a little bit more of the Drew Marshall Show. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.